Townsend Press presents, from the Bluefoot series of books, Secrets in the Shadows, written by Paul Langan and read by James Costin.
Chapter 1. Roiland Bailey flipped on the bathroom switch and yelled,
"Mom, that switch still don't work. Didn't Tuttle fix it yet?"
"Psh, this dump is falling apart."
"Roiland, that man don't do nothing around here. All he wants to do is go out to that racetrack and bet on horses. He keep gambling, even if the ceiling fell down on us. Yesterday I had to wash the baby in water I heated on the stove, 'cause we don't have enough hot water to fill a teacup,"
Mrs. Bailey called back. She had complained many times, but Tuttle, the building manager, was a sour-tempered little man who always had several days stubble on his face and a greasy Dodgers cap on his head. Requests from the tenants fell on deaf ears. But with five children, Mrs. Bailey had few choices of where to live in this neighborhood. Roiland was almost 17, and he had a pretty good job as a waiter at the Golden Grill restaurant. He worked 3 days a week and could bring home decent money in tips, especially on Saturday nights. But most of his earnings went to pay for insurance on his mother's Honda. Because he paid for the insurance, his mother allowed him to drive the car to work and school. Between gas, insurance, and clothes, there was no way Roiland could afford to help his mother pay for a better place to live. "This place ain't fit for the roaches on the walls," Roiland yelled, kicking the bathroom door shut.
"Don't take it out on us,"
said Amber Lynn, Roiland's 14-year-old sister.
"Shut your mouth,"
he snapped from behind the closed door.
"Don't talk to me like that," Amber Lynn yelled back. "I need a ride to school this morning," she added. "Can you take me?"
"No."
"Mom, Roiland won't drive me to school," Amber Lynn whined. "It's out of my way. Take the bus or walk," Roiland snapped, stepping out of the bathroom.
"What's your problem?" Amber Lynn said. "You're just like Dad. Mean and ugly."
Roiland turned sharply and glared at his sister. "Don't you ever say I'm like him. You hear me? I'm nothing like him. Nothing."
Roiland's father used to beat him regularly, using a heavy leather strap to turn Roiland's back into a mass of tender bruises. The slightest offense was enough to enrage the muscular man. He would stand Roiland against the wall and administer blow after blow. That was why Roiland's mother finally divorced him. Even being alone with five children was not as frightening to her as living with a man whose wrath was dangerous and unpredictable. Nobody ever knew whose turn it would be to be beaten. Would he use the strap on Roiland? Would he crack Amber Lynn across the face, splitting her lip? Or would he shove his wife so hard against the sink that she would ache for days?
"Drive your sister," Mom said crossly. "You can do that much, Roiland Bailey. It's starting to rain, and it's a long walk to the middle school. And the bus is running late as usual."
Roiland hiked his backpack onto his shoulders.
"Hurry up if you're coming with me, Amber Lynn. I don't want to be late for my first class and get locked out."
Amber Lynn stuffed one more book into her backpack and ran after her brother as he headed for his Honda. Once inside the car, Amber Lynn said,
"I made it on the cheerleading squad, me and Jamie Wills. Grinnelli's paint store's paying for the uniforms. They're so nice. I'll be so good at cheering that when I get to Bluefoot next year, I can be on the cheerleading squad there."
"Like I care," Roiland muttered.
"Hey, ain't that Bobby Wallace? That wannabe thug who was hanging out with Londell James when you got shot?"
Amber Lynn asked.
"How come he ain't in jail or something?"
"That punk copped a plea, and now he's back in school. They got Londell for that drive-by, though. He's the one who pulled the trigger," Roiland said, remembering the day in the park when he was shot. The memory of it still made him tremble. Roiland pulled up at the middle school and said,
"Get going, girl. I gotta make it to Bluefoot before the first bell, or it's my neck."
Eckerly is the meanest teacher in Bluefoot, and she just loved to mess me up. Amber Lynn rushed out of the car, and Roiland drove on to Bluefoot High School. Steering the teal blue Honda through the morning drizzle, He pulled into the parking lot, bolted from the car, and sprinted into the school, careful to avoid the shallow puddles that had formed on the cracked asphalt.
"Hey, man," Cooper Hyden laughed as Roiland skidded into the classroom. "You always trying to get in under the wire. Why don't you just get up a little earlier, man?"
Roiland ignored the comment. He was sitting down when he saw a new girl sitting a desk away. She was the most beautiful girl Roiland had ever seen, even in his dreams. Her skin looked like satin, and she had huge dark eyes shadowed by long lashes. Her slightly pouting lips were smooth, red, and full.
"Man," Roiland whistled softly, "who is that?"
Tara Carson sat behind Roiland.
"Fool," she whispered to Roiland, "don't even think about that girl. Her name is Corey Archer, and she thinks she is all that."
Roiland paid no attention to Ms. Eckerly's lecture on Civil War battles. He kept staring at Corey, at the way she tilted her head when she was puzzled, at how her smooth hand rubbed her neck when she grew tired of looking at the chalkboard. Roiland had dated other girls, and some of them were pretty, but no girl he had ever seen measured up to Corey. She was somebody he expected to see on the cover of a magazine, not sitting in his classroom. She had one of those incredible faces and bodies that do not seem to belong in the real world, especially the world Roiland Bailey lived in. Roiland watched Corey glide from the room when class ended. Her perfect figure swayed through the crowd of students in the hallway. He jostled past several others to catch up with her.
"Hi," he said nervously. "I'm Roiland Bailey. Today's your first day here, huh?"
Corey turned and flashed a big smile.
"Yeah, I'm Corey Archer. I'm a transfer from Hoover. Do you like it here?" "Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I'll show you around. What's your next class?"
Corey hesitated for a minute and then dug into her overcrowded purse.
"I don't even know. I'm so confused. Let's see, where's my schedule?"
A lipstick and a small compact fell from her purse as she rummaged around, and Roiland dove to the floor to recover them for her. When Roiland returned them, her hand brushed his, and electricity seemed to pulsate through his body.
"Oh, here's the schedule. I got science next."
"I'll show you where it is," Roiland volunteered as they walked on.
"Thanks,"
Corey said in a musical, breathy voice.
"You got biology with Reed. She's tough. There's room 112 right there."
Roiland pointed to an open door with students streaming in.
"Well, thanks a lot, Roiland. You've been really sweet," Corey said, smiling. "How could Tara have said Corey thought she was hot stuff? She seemed as nice as she was beautiful."
Corey, you and I are both in the same lunch period," Roiland said, studying her schedule carefully. "I can meet you after algebra class, and we can go to lunch together, okay? If the rain stops, we can even go outside and eat under the trees."
"Oh, that'll be great, because I don't know anybody here, and I hate eating alone."
"You're a really nice guy, Roiland. I'm so glad I ran into you," Corey said. "I'll meet you outside your classroom, and we'll go to the cafeteria together," Roiland babbled on, his words tumbling over one another. "And I'll show you what's good to eat, too, because some of the food here is nasty."
"Thanks," Corey said,
as she headed toward class. She paused at the door and gave Roiland a little wave before disappearing into the lab classroom.
"This can't be real," Roiland thought.
He must be asleep in his rundown apartment, having an incredible dream about a fantasy girl who actually treated him like a winner instead of the loser he really was. A guy like Hakeem Randall, who could sing and play the guitar, who could make students cheer because they liked and respected him. That is the kind of guy a girl like Corey would date. Nice, pretty girls like Corey never had anything to do with the Roilands of the world. Roiland was the kind of guy girls made fun of when they gossip about boys. Sure, it was partly his own fault. Sometimes he taunted kids so that they would feel as bad as he did. He was often rude, too. But he never wanted to hurt people the way his father did. He remembered hating how his father acted, and yet he often found himself doing the same kind of things, like he was following a script his father had written for him. Sometimes he felt trapped inside his own skin. But recently, things seemed to be changing. Since the day Roylin was grazed by a bullet at Tara's party, people have been treating him differently. Several times over the past month, Cooper Hyden threw an arm around Roylin's shoulders and called him, "Roylin, my man." Even Hakeem invited him to join the Bluford Park crew, a group of students who work to keep the nearby park free from beer bottles, graffiti, and trash. It was hard to be mean when everybody was being so nice, but Roylin knew better than to trust what was happening. He figured Cooper and Hakeem felt sorry for him, that being nice to him was just a form of charity. But Corey was different. If she liked him, maybe things would really change. Roylin felt as if his morning classes would never end. All he could think about was having lunch with Corey. When the bell finally rang, Roylin leaped from his desk and raced to the lab classroom so he could meet Corey. "Hey, Roylin," Hakeem called. "Want to study algebra with me at lunch today? The quiz is coming up, and you said you wanted to work together." "No, not today. I'm busy, real busy," Roylin said, rushing past Hakeem. As he neared the science room, he noticed Corey had already come out and was talking to Steve Morris, a varsity running back for the Bluford Buccaneers. "No, no, no," Roylin muttered to himself. "Get away from her, man. I'll bust your head. I seen her first. Don't move in on her now." Roylin came up to Corey, turned his back to Steve, and said, "Let's go, Corey. We want to get in the front of the line at the cafeteria." "Hi, Roylin. Steve was just telling me about the Bluford Buccaneers and how good you guys were this year," Corey said. "I played with the Buccaneers too," Roylin said, omitting the fact that he was a mediocre player who quit so he could work more hours. "Come on, Corey, let's go." "Bye, Steve," Corey sang out as she fell in step beside Roylin. "Everybody's so nice here. I love Bluford already. And this is only my first day." Roylin cast a nervous glance at the girl who miraculously was walking with him. The vultures were circling. Guys like Steve were ready to pounce on every pretty girl. But not Corey, Roylin thought. Corey belonged to him.